Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, now speak to the hearts of your people in Jesus' name. Amen. The Old Testament, this prophet by the name of Habakkuk, his name means embraced by God. He was a man who wrestled with the Lord many times faithfully in prayer. And his prophecy came at a time of gross immorality. Now, the wonderful thing about the Bible is that the prophecies that are contained in the Bible that had reference to Judah and Jerusalem, you can take them same prophecies and apply them to America and Israel today. That's the amazing, amazing power of the Bible and the scriptures. Holy men of old wrote as they were inspired of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit makes the Bible to become alive. It isn't just a book of history, although it contains history. But it is alive. And it can change lives today. It's also alive today for the warnings that it had for Israel. Those same warnings need to be heeded for America today. Judah and Jerusalem were backslidden. They were brazenly disobeying his laws. We could say that of America today. Americans are brazenly disobeying God's laws. Do you know you're sinning? Yes. Do you care? No. And that really is the attitude of many today in America. They know that what they're doing is wrong, but they don't care. Watch it. Look at it. You can see it. I know I'm doing wrong. Well, doesn't it bother? No, it doesn't bother me. It's almost a carry-on of our Sunday school lesson, Joyce. You said that we don't know how what it's like to blush. Very, very few blushing today. Nobody seems to blush at anything today. It's got to be really, really bad for people to blush today. It seems that it's much harder for us to blush today about things. It just seems to be acceptable. Lifestyles are acceptable. Everything that's going on is acceptable. We're used to it. We see it all the time. And we think it's okay. But with God, it's not okay. It's sinful. It's wrong. And he brought judgment upon Judah and Jerusalem. They were in love with themselves. They had lots of materialism. Lots of things they could buy. Lots of things they could get for themselves. It was a generation of sensuality, much like America today, resembling much like Sodom was. Religion had become just a ritual thing, a form just to be followed. There was no spiritual power in the church. The church wasn't making many inroads. Church was basically dead. Their lights failed to shine. Their lights had become darkened. We sang the song that we need to be the light of the world. Well, their lights went out. And they began, and you couldn't tell the difference between this Christian and that Christian because they looked like the rest of the world. They were doing the things of the world. They were backslidden. And so what was this judgment? God said he would raise up the enemy of the Chaldeans as his rod of correction and chastisement. Are you with me in Habakkuk? It's only three chapters, chapter 1, verse 6. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. So God was going to use the Chaldeans to bring chastisement and correction to his people. They were a very violent and wicked army, and they were descending on the land. They were sent by God himself. And so the Lord revealed this word to Habakkuk, and the prophet explained, what I have heard has made me to tremble. My lips quivered. I felt terror in my bones. Chapter 3 and verse 16. Now I wait patiently for the days of distress to come. He knew certainly that it was coming. God's timing is always perfect. But he needed to wait patiently for what God was going to do. Patient? Oh, that's not a real good term. That's not a real good word for some of us. Patient. Who's patient today? You can see impatience everywhere. You can see it everywhere. Not only in the stores, you see it everywhere. You see it on the highway. You can see impatience everywhere. We're not very patient. But we're told that we need to be patient, but we're not. How was Habakkuk's message received by the people of his day? Well, no one believed the prophecy. No one took any credence to it. It was simply too horrible to even think about. What was Habakkuk's response? He was shaken to his soul that the people wouldn't listen to what he had to say. And so he complained to God in verse 2, and that was the opening verse that we had opened with. And this was his complaint to God. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you'll not save. What Habakkuk was really saying in short was, how can this be, Lord? I've interceded endlessly. I have beseeched you to bring revival to your people. I prayed with such faith and such hope, but revival's never come. Why have you ignored my prayers, is what Habakkuk was asking the Lord. And that's the time when Satan will come in and flood your mind with all kinds of stupid doubts and questions. And it happened to Habakkuk. Habakkuk became very tormented over God's silence. The prophet cried out even more desperately, Lord, how can you be silent to all of my heart's cries? Here was a godly, praying, and righteous man whose faith was now under severe attack. His frustrations grew deeper. He began to make accusations toward God. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and you hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Verse 13, if you're following in chapter 1. In other words, you sit silently by while evildoers abuse and repress your people. Why don't you do something? Does that sound like Americans today? Does that sound like what a lot of American people are saying? Lord, why don't you do something? Why aren't you doing something? It appeared to Habakkuk that God had been standing passively by and not doing anything at all. It seemed as though the wicked men grew stronger and more wicked, and God's people grew weaker and weaker by the moment. And today God's people are voicing the very same complaint. All across the land, you can hear these cries from God's people. Lord, why are you silent? As your name is being cast out of our schools and our courts and our society, why do you allow sinners to pervert your law and flaunt wicked behavior? How can you permit pornographers to flood our mainstream media with such demonic filth? Why do you allow modern theologies and church leaders to mock your divinity? Why do you seem to tolerate such suffering in this world? Does it sound familiar? Have you asked those same questions? Why, Lord? Why? Hell has unleashed a very violent army of demonic principalities and powers, and it was done so to destroy our faith. Remember what Jesus said when he comes back? Will there be faith in the land? Will there be faith? Will I see faith? What was Habakkuk's reaction to this army that was approaching his people? The prophet shut himself up in prayer. Look at verse 1. This is what Habakkuk said. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. That's what he did. He hid himself. He put himself away in prayer. He was determined to hear a word from the Lord, and he pledged not to leave his place until the Lord answered his cry. Habakkuk didn't try to change God's mind about the chastisements that were being sent on his society. He merely wanted God to answer his doubts that was plaguing his spirit. Why are you silent to my prayers, Lord? Why are you not answering my cries? Habakkuk declared, I will stand in my watch and I will sit myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. I hear many preachers today, they try to explain the unanswered cries of those who face great sufferings. They muster up sermons that try to justify the afflictions of God's people. But the truth is, we can't fully understand why godly people endure such awful pain for months and even years. I know of some righteous people who've had multitudes of prayers for their healing, and yet all those dozens of prayers seem to have gone unanswered. So have you. You've seen the same thing as I have. What is it that you've been petitioning God for? Is it about your marriage? Is it about a child that has gone wrong? That is a child that you raised along with all the rest of your children, and now this child is not serving the Lord? Is it perhaps about finances? Is there a promise that you've been given from the Lord and you've not seen it come to pass yet? Does God seem to be silent about your request? Maybe you're not receiving any answers to your cries. And so, like Habakkuk, you cry out, "How long, O Lord, will I call for help and you won't hear? I cry to you and you do not save." The praying prophet cried out in desperation, "I need a word from the Lord." That's when he shut himself into prayer. He was determined to hear from God. And Habakkuk said, "I have set myself to watch and to wait until you speak to me. All I know is I need an answer to all of my doubts." God did not explain to this prophet why the wicked gained power upon the righteous. He never answered Habakkuk as to why he seemed to be silent. And I'm sure that this has certainly baffled Habakkuk. He certainly must have been puzzled by this. He had expected God to give him some kind of an explanation. He surely must have thought that in God's mercy he would reveal. But he was silent. No such explanations came. Till eventually, in chapter 2 and in verse 3, we have the answer. God sent the answer, finally, after waiting and waiting. At times, it seems like God ignores our pleas. Doesn't it seem that way in your life? No matter how often you pray, your unsaved loved one continues to live in sin. Your marriage seems to get worse. Your misery drags on day after day. Maybe you're suffering some endless physical pain. And instead of getting relief from prayer, your problems seem to pile up higher and higher. And you ask, why? Why? Please just explain why my prayers aren't being answered. It's interesting. Does it sound like you? We all need a sure word from the Lord from time to time. We all need some encouragement. We all need just a little bit. Just a little bit. You see, Satan has won if he can convince us that our Lord doesn't hear or answer us. And I believe it's the reason why so many once zealous believers no longer pray as earnestly as they used to, because they think that prayer just doesn't work for me. God just doesn't hear what I'm saying. God's mad at me. Maybe I've done something to anger God. Is God mad at me? Is that why he doesn't talk to me? Is that why he doesn't answer my prayers? Have you thought about that? Have you maybe asked those same questions? We just need to hear something. And so for Habakkuk, he was determined to wait in the Lord's presence, seeking God in prayer. It was there where the Lord spoke to him. And he said, "Habakkuk, I'm going to give you a word that answers all your questions. This word will put an end to all your doubts. And it's not only for you, but it's for all my people. For all, unto the very end. And there was, look at verse 3. Verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, right, I'm chapter 2, verse 2, I'm sorry. The Lord answered me and said, write the visions and make it plain upon tablets that he may run that readeth it. So you see, it wasn't just, the answer didn't just come for Habakkuk. It was for all who would read it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. You see, there it is, time. God's timing, not yours, Habakkuk. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Oh, I don't want to hear that. That word wait, I don't want to hear that. So many people don't want to hear that word. Because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. Behold, this is the word, which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. There was the word. Right there was the word. The just shall live by his faith. That's Old Testament. That sounds more like Romans, doesn't it? Sounds more like the book of Romans. That's from the Old Testament. Are you running the race? God has a word for you today. Paul mentioned about we're running a race. And so the word here for Habakkuk, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Do you understand what God is saying in this verse? He's telling the prophet, and he's telling the whole nation of Judah, as well as his people today, the church, get your eyes off of those proud and arrogant Chaldeans. Don't worry about the hard times that's coming. I'm going to bring all my enemies down in my what? Time. I'll bring them all down in my time. Don't you worry about them. I'll take care of it. But they'll be done away with in my time. In my time. My glory is going to cover the whole earth. Meanwhile, what you have to do is do what? Live by faith. That's what you're going to do. Even in the midst of all of it, you are going to live by faith. Wow. Here's the only word for you, Habakkuk. The only word that you'll ever need to see you through the hard times. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And live by faith. When Satan infuses wicked and unbelieving thoughts into your mind, you are not to fear them. The enemy wants you to believe that you are as wicked as every thought that he puts there. But your response to every one of these accusations should and must be, these are not my thoughts, but they have been planted by the wicked one. And at such a time, you're told that the powers of hell, you need to trust in God to deliver you. And devil, I reject all of your thoughts. You can't control my mind. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Jesus is with me, and he has made me pure in his sight. But I can tell you, Satan will try to torment you with condemnation. He will bring up every sin and every failure from your past. He'll cast that up to you. But that's the time when you need to trust in the Lord. Trust in his word. Hold on to your faith. Faith alone will be the ark that will see you through the flood. We've heard this since we were children. Throughout our Christian lives, believe, trust God in all things. We read it from Genesis to Revelation. It was preached by Moses and Daniel and Job and David and the prophets, Paul and Peter and John and Jesus. God gave Habakkuk these words. For centuries, pastors and teachers and evangelists have preached this and talked about it, that the just shall live by faith. I've preached this many times myself, but I can assure you, it is much easier to preach than it is to practice. And so, chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, I'm closing with. Chapter 3, 17 through 19. Look at it there with me as I read it. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make thy feet like deer feet, and he'll make me to walk in my high hills. The setting that Habakkuk described here, he's talking about a total collapse of economy. The prophet is predicting famines and food shortages and loss of income and lack in all things. But in spite of all these things that are to come, the prophet trusts that he is convinced that God is still in control. And still, God, through every famine and through every hardship, God will be there. The Lord is the same God who opened the Red Sea, who provided for his people in the wilderness for 40 years, who has never failed his people in any age. I know I have faith when I can truly say, my God is the God of the impossible. And whether I live or die, I am his. I cast myself into his arms. He will see me through even unto death and all eternity. So we need to learn to praise God in the good times and in the present times of testing. And when things look bleak and hopeless, faith rises up in the praises of God's people. And we're to do what? Live by faith, even in the midst of all the problems that we see coming. Oh, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for this precious word that you have shared to me last night and early this morning. It's blessed my heart. And I pray, Lord, it'll continue to bless the hearts of your people who've heard it today. Lord, may it accomplish all that which you want and even more. In wonderful Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. This time we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We have a number of requests.